In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin." In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we were shown on the news an amazing example of forgiveness. You probably saw this picture. 18-year-old Brant Jean, his brother was killed by former Dallas police officer Amber Geiger. She had come home from a 13-hour shift, entered what she thought was her apartment. She was mistaken. It was Botham's apartment, Brant's brother's. Coming in, Botham heard somebody coming in. He got up and went to see. She thought he was an intruder. She shot and killed him. She was convicted of murder, was sentenced to 10 years in prison. And during the testimony of family members, victim statements they are called, Botham's brother Brant said to her, "I want the best for you, because I know as well that's exactly what Botham would want for you. And the best would be for you to give your life to Christ." And then he was given permission from the judge to go down and hug her. Afterwards, the judge herself came down, hugged Amber, and gave her a Bible. Now, outside the courtroom, the mood was far different. There were protesters outside, and they were incensed at the short sentence, 10 years, for gunning down a man who was just sitting on his couch eating an ice cream cone. They cried out, "No justice, no peace." And you know something? Even though, in general, I am not a fan of protesters, I understood their anger, because it certainly did seem like a rather short sentence for taking a man's life. Their cry kind of reflects the cry of the prophet Habakkuk. In our Old Testament reading this morning, he complains to God, "The law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, and so justice goes forth perverted." Now, there are many opinions regarding Brant Jean's actions in hugging Amber Geiger. You could waste a lot of time on social media reading those reactions, responding to them. I don't recommend that you do so. The important thing for us to see is that his words and actions were above all motivated by Christ, and motivated by the faith in him that he also saw in his own brother. But that faith, it certainly raises questions. Jesus isn't always easy to believe in and follow. At times, he says some things that are very difficult, such as this morning. "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come." What's he talking about? What does Jesus mean? Is he, for instance, warning us about people who tempt you with sexual sins, which are so prevalent and abundant in our day? Or is he warning about those who would tempt you with greed or covetousness or things like that? It doesn't seem that that's what he had in mind. Because right after he said those words, he gave a warning that we are to forgive one another. Forgive even if someone sins against you 7 times in a day. Christ knows that the worst temptation for us as Christians is to not forgive sins, but to remember them, to use them against another as a weapon. Woe to those who do this, says the Lord Jesus. Because you see, by refusing to forgive, you're not only attacking the person who has sinned against you, you are attacking Christ himself. You are attacking the faith that is in him. Because Jesus is a Lord who forgives, a Lord of mercy. And forgiveness is what he gives to us to share. It is, in fact, the greatest weapon that we have in fighting against evil. The evil, especially of sin. The sin that would condemn you to hell as an enemy of God. As God forgives your sin, he's not only rescuing you from hell, giving you eternal life with him in heaven, he is also working to change your life here and now. And that change is to be seen in your heart, in your mind, is to be heard from your mouth. You see, God has great plans for you. St. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, he saved us and called us to a holy calling. And he goes on to say that he gave us this calling in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Just think about that. Before the ages began, before creation, you were already in God's heart and mind. Your life, his plan for you, already there. His love for you, his desire to rescue you from the sins which he knew would come. This moved God to send his holy and eternal Son into our time, into our flesh, our world of sin and death, as one of us, a weak and lowly human being. God's love moved him to place your sins, indeed the sins of the whole world, upon his Son, so that he and not you would pay the price for them. And by his death, Jesus has not only forgiven our sins, by his resurrection, he has ended their power over us, their control of our lives. He has, Paul says, abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Christ's life, his immortality, his great power, power over sin, over death, over all the suffering it brings, it is all given to you. God makes it yours, Paul says, through the gospel. The gospel, which isn't just words. It isn't just a message of Jesus' love and forgiveness. It is actually the receiving of Jesus' forgiveness, of his life. So that receiving the gospel, you are made like him. You are made eternal, lords over life, lords over sin and death. And you were given his calling to now share this life, to live, to speak, to share the forgiveness that has changed your life. This is your holy calling. This is what changed Brant Jean's life so that he could forgive the one who had killed his brother. Refusing to share Christ's forgiveness, it brings down woe, Jesus says. The woe of God's anger. Because you're not just rejecting the sinner, you're rejecting the Savior of sinners. You're rejecting your holy calling. And so Jesus says, woe to the one through whom temptations to sin come. And we cry out, spare us this woe, Lord. The disciples cried out, increase our faith. And indeed, we need faith. We need faith because we are so greatly tempted to hold on to sin, tempted in so many ways. Impatience is one of the greatest temptations. It's a temptation that Habakkuk felt. Destruction and violence are before me, he says to God. He sees it everywhere, strife and contention. And yet you, Lord, you idly look at wrong. You know, you're not doing anything. It's not right for sinners to not be punished. And indeed, we know sin needs to be confronted, to be punished, lest it take over. But then the question arises, why does God seemingly allow bad people to not only continue, but even to prosper at times? And his answer to Habakkuk, to us, it's not easy. Wait. Wait, he says. The righteous shall live by his faith, by trusting in God, waiting for justice, waiting for the punishment of sin. That is hard. It often does not seem to be fair. And so we are then tempted. Tempted to take justice in our own hands, into our mouths, to talk, to bring up sins. Perhaps even just plain assume them. And gossip and spread, just as Jesus' opponents did with him. Lies were spread about Christ and his life. That should be no surprise to you. He was accused of being a drunk, of eating too much, being a glutton. And those lies, well, they gained, belief with people, because after all, who was it who often came to Jesus and he received them? Prostitutes, sinners like that. So those lies got traction. They seemed reasonable. And the rumor spread. Jesus tells us the right way to deal with sins. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Well, gosh, 7 times in a day? Can you do that? Can I do that? Well, notice Jesus doesn't ask if you can. He says you must do this. Just keep in mind, he forgave the sins of the world, including your sins, all in one day, in a matter of hours as he died on the cross. He bore all of them in his own flesh, gave himself up as the sacrifice to cover them. And you, he forgives every day. So you too, you must forgive. Can you? If you believe in Jesus, if you believe that he is God in flesh, whose death was for the forgiveness of your sins, well, then you are his. You are in Christ, and he will help you. You are a servant, for he too came as a servant. As a servant, forgiveness is your duty. But Jesus will be with you to help. For you, just keep receiving his forgiveness, receiving his mercy, and receive him. He will renew your life. You know, that's been his plan since before time began. Brant Jean. He confronted Amber Geiger's sin, confronted it with Christ's great weapon of forgiveness. A weapon far more powerful than the weapon that she used to take his brother's life. And if she receives his forgiveness, if she, as he urged, draws near to Christ, then Jesus will more and more draw her to himself and to the one whose life she ended, Botham. She is paying for her sin in this life, as she should. But after this life, in Christ, she would see her sin no more. Instead, she will see Botham, the man whose life she took away, but whose true life no one can take away. She, along with all of us who share in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord, who receive his forgiveness, we will see him who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light, even Jesus Christ our Lord. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.